I'm not doing well.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Talked about in verse 1 and 2, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were led, you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. What the word is you were led, you were being led to the death chamber. From the time that you were born, you're led to the death chamber. There's no option except to be born again. And so the idea, and this is a critical predicate of understanding the spiritual gifts, or pneumaticos, because as long as you believe there is any aspect of the spiritual gifts that apply to you individually, then you are deceived, because you're placing or putting that which is holy on the flesh. And so, in order to truly understand the spiritual gifts, you have to understand that they are for something other than the human race. They are for this new creation, this body of this bride, this mystery that has absolutely nothing with you or I individually. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so because of what I just said, and because Jesus is from another dimension, he's from the dimension, he is from eternity, the place of the New Jerusalem. He alone has immortality. He alone is what all the temple and services and everything were geared or pointing towards. So if any man calls Jesus accursed, the word cursed means accursed is anathema. It means not suitable for temple service. In other words, they've rejected him. So if any man called Jesus accursed, he's not speaking by the Spirit. If any man says any part of the life of Christ was not suitable for the temple service, but more importantly, if any man, you're calling him accursed if you do not understand that you have been perfected by one offering. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Like Christ in you is lacking something.
Right. If you believe that you as a vessel of this mystery lack anything, then you are calling Jesus accursed. And that's on the one hand. On the other hand, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You cannot say that Jesus is the Lord unless you look and see that everything is perfect, everything is finished, everything is exactly as it should be. So it's critical that you understand this, because this defines the separation. It's this wide, bright light of separation between his kingdom and the kingdom of darkness. Everybody got this? Oh. Hey.
How you doing?
Good. Have a seat. No problem. Get him a Bible, would you? We're 1 Corinthians 12. Is that chair busted? All right, I tell you what, Ken.
part of what I do is I have to be able to look at people in the eye, and now you've produced an opportunity for Jim to hide. So can you sit there back there next to Jim? Well, I'm concerned about Kevin here, but that's all right. Okay. No man can call Jesus accursed. They're speaking by God. You call Jesus accursed if you think you lack something. You got that? If you think you need something, you're calling Jesus accursed, because our life is Jesus Christ. For me to live as Christ, to die is gain.
There are two revelations. The God of this world will reveal to you that he's accursed, but it takes the God of the universe to reveal to you that he's Christ.
I don't understand that, but it's all right. The other half of this, it's on the one hand, no man can... No, let me read it. I give it to you to understand. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Well, nobody's going to run around and call Jesus accursed. It means something far deeper. Christ is in you. He is your life. So if you think that you need something, or there's something about you that has not been perfected, if you have not accepted the fullness of his forgiveness, you're calling Jesus accursed. Because he is your life. Now this one will get you between the eyes if you have ears to hear and eyes to see. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Chapter 12, verse 3.
It's like that stated that way because the flesh will never be able to come up with this. So
right.
The only way to see that is by God's intervention.
Right.
So calling Jesus accursed would include things like being fearful.
Right.
Worried, concerned, upset, things are going to hell in a handbag, all of it. Anything other than joy.
Anything other than peace.
And love and peace and rest.
Calling Jesus accursed. And this is why you must see this. In order that you fully comprehend the fear of God, because half of you run around half your lives, either worried or anxious or upset or thinking you need something or being deceived by what somebody says about you. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And Jesus Christ is your life. On the other hand, no man can say that Jesus is the, and the is particularly important. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, to say that Jesus is Lord, that means that wherever you look, you see that everything is perfect. This one will get you. This one will... If you don't understand this, or if you need further explanation, now is the time to speak.
Yeah, I think it's usually interpreted as thinking about he's my Lord, and I'm doing what he says. But the Lord means that everything is doing what he says.
Every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing. They don't know it. Everything is exactly finished. Everything is exactly perfect.
This is like the table of the Lord and the table of demons. There's only two choices.
There's only two left, the bride and the whore. The whore always thinks she needs something. Now, this includes spiritual understanding. If you think you need more than you have, then you will try to use that which is cursed, your mind, to gain that which is blessed. It can't be done. The only way you can gain more of him is to have your head cut off. That's the mystery of John the Baptist. Now, when I used to be on the radio, and I get invited to a lot of places to speak, I'd go speak somewhere, and everybody afterwards would look at me strange and say, Jesus is Lord. So I'd say, Jesus is Lord. And then they were a little bit felt better because they were... Do all of you understand this? If you think anything is wrong, if you think you lack something, if you think you need something, if you're not at peace, you're saying to God, Jesus is accursed because his sacrifice wasn't enough for you. If you look with your eyes externally and don't see that everything is perfect, everything is exactly as it should be, then you're not saying Jesus is Lord. And these two revelations about how you see yourself and be and are and how you see the world are, as I said, the great white, bright light dividing line between soul and spirit to know whether you've been born again or whether you're just acting. You do not want Jesus to come to you on that day saying, Lord, where you're saying, Lord, Lord, I did all these goodies for you. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye worker of iniquity. Iniquity is self-seeking, self-realization. Are you here, Alex, or are you wandering? You're wandering. Are you here? Are you back now? All right. You see why I want to see people's eyes?
You know, that thing you're talking about, it's like, that just got me, what you're reading. The idea of... Well, read that again. I wasn't reading along, but...
Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Oh, never mind. It'll come to later. I was just about to think. It was like... Boo, boo, boo.
I know how it feels, you know.
Yeah. This is so critical. This is what separates the sheep from the goats. This is what provides you with the assurance, always. This is what gives you peace 24 hours a day, no matter what the circumstances are. You're never again deceived by what somebody's response to you is, are you? Roger. You're never again deceived by what somebody's response to you is, because Jesus is Lord. And everything is always perfect. It can be nothing else. So if you fix somebody's tire and they say you're a fool, it doesn't matter. You understand? You can never again get mad at Harry. See, Harry is he is your pearl. He is your grain of sand which creates the pearl.
I go to him too.
Huh?
I go to him too.
Yeah, right. That's especially true. You can
get mad at me.
Harry can't get mad at anybody.
Good again, Harry.
Now, there's nothing more important where you are spiritually, where we are spiritually, and for you to understand what I've just said this morning. So it's critical. If you don't understand it, if something doesn't, if it hasn't, if you haven't seen it, speak.
To me, this really brings to life the expression, the evil counselor, because the evil counselor is always ready to whisper in my ear, look at that, what about this?
Yeah, and you've got to say, can you say that if you know that paying attention to that evil counselor, actually you got 70 of them up here, your own Sanhedrin. Can you, if you pay attention to any of their voices, they will always tell you that something is wrong, that you need more than you have, that somebody needs to be different than they are, that there's something that you can regret. There's something that you can anticipate. You have this great idea. All of these will lead you down into the pit. But it's the fear of God which is the beginning of wisdom. And this is the fear of God that will come before you every second of your day, if you can apprehend what I've said this morning. What? Well, I mean, I'm just... I can see it. I can see it in your countenance. You don't understand. Ken?
I think I understand, but I've lived my life so differently. I've listened to all those voices, and sometimes on the outside I can make it look pretty good, you know, and have some, you know, material success or some, you know, fleeting success, you know, that the world says is pretty good, and then I hear you and I believe you, but
remember what I told you. I can't tell you anything you do not know already.
I'm just thinking in this abandonment process, you abandon, you know, these voices, and then there's a void, and it's like there's nothing. And we're so used to listening to those voices and comforted by them all, that in that void we think, well, that wasn't right, I better, you know, back, but there's a time period of nothingness, waiting on God.
Well, it's exactly, that's why if you're in some desperate strait, Alex, please pay attention to me. If you're in some desperate strait where your mind is giving you all this information, you must be always in the same position that Christ is. You must honestly say, as he did, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's no answer except his son's resurrection in you. And you wait at all costs. You wait for that revelation. This happened to Christ beforehand. When he had an inkling of what was about to happen, what did he say? He, as Son of Man, he said, Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No. For this hour came I unto this world. And that is always the only response when you're confronted with something that you don't like. You must, as Son of Man, as he did, he will say in all honesty and prophesying, my soul is troubled. And then he'll have the transaction, what shall I say? You'll have that transaction, what shall I say? Deliver me? And if that's the answer you want, then you will rely on your own arm of understanding. You will go up to the mountains of your mind and commit sorcery by trying to mix diverse things together to come up with an answer to try to get you out of your problem. You'll do anything but wait. But the Spirit of God says to you, that is perfect. Everything is exactly as it should be, no matter what it seems. Because I cannot ever again call Jesus accursed by leaning on my own arm of understanding. By trying to solve something. By trying to get myself out of something. There's no more foxhole prayers. Deliver me from it all. It's the idea. Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me? No! For this hour came I unto this world. I am so tired of hearing how, oh, you've been dealing with something for 3 or 4 weeks and you've tried every possible solution. Well, stop trying all those stupid solutions. They've never gotten you anywhere. Do you understand finally that your mind has never once in your entire life been your friend? Its goal is to make you separate, alone, miserable. You can't know that until you push all the barriers. Either, and God's given us 2 gifts to do that, either by our own experience or by empathizing with someone else, so that you can push every, that's what it means when it says, expand
your tent pegs to the end of time and space itself to find out that there is no there there. It's all empty. It's all futile. If you live in this plane, if you live on this plane of flesh.
We didn't get very far today.
My experience that I'm thinking about right now is that the thing about when you go into a wedding and just take the lower seat rather than walking up to the head table and sitting down and then being told to go away. The voice I hear in my ear telling me that something is wrong or something needs to be fixed or whatever it is always puts my attention on me. And it makes what I do or don't do important. It always causes me to get up and take a higher seat rather than just sit down at peace. Remember the chorus? It always gets me to come up to the center stage at the spotlight. And that's the attraction of it.
You've spent your entire life, most of you, all of you, some of you, a few of you, I don't know. You've spent your entire life warring with the wrong enemy. Doesn't matter whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex or somebody you don't like or parents or need. Or the only battle that you have is with your mind. And you must be transfigured by the renewing of your mind so that you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I promise you, I stake my life on this, that there is no thought, no emotion that you can have that can stand against "it is finished." That's the signature that defined the life of Jesus Christ. It is finished. It is perfect. Now I promise you, the only enemy in the entire universe of God is your mind, which is a child of Satan. That's why you are the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. Because you've set your... Let's go there. You've got to see this. 1 Thessalonians. Take a left. Or right, I mean, about a few pages. 1 Thessalonians.
General Electric Power Thessalonians.
I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You cannot say the day of Christ is at hand until let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away, an apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's exactly what you've done your entire life. You are the man of sin who opposeth and exalteth himself against all that is called God. And you are sitting in the temple of God. The scriptures are clear. You are the temple of the living God. you are sitting in the temple of God, opposing and exalting yourself against all that is called God, showing who? Showing you. Showing yourself that He is God. You don't show anybody else. Everybody else thinks you're a fool. They have the discernment of an ant. But you think, because you sit in judgment and you judge everything, right or wrong, good or evil, I'm going to do this or that, rather than that total and complete dependence of God. So if that man of sin is revealed, that one who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, that is you. So that he, as God, you, Alex, Roger, Ken, Jim, Kevin, all of you, you as God are sitting in this temple of God. What? Showing himself that he is God. There's not going to be any ridiculous temple built in Jerusalem. That ended thousands of years ago. I mean, there's all kinds of efforts, but God's got a great sense of humor. He's got the Dome of the Rock, the second most or third most holy thing in Islam, sitting on the only temple site, and he will. So the stupid fulfillment, the way they think that, oh, they're going to go over there, and people are raising billions of dollars for the temple in Jerusalem. The end has come for you, because for you, now, the day of Christ is at hand. That's what Jesus said. So you, sitting in the temple of God, opposing and exalting yourself above God in all that is truly worshipped, showing yourself that you're as God, and you're God. Because you judge for yourself good and evil. Remember the least studied scripture in evangelical Christianity? Matthew 23:15, they shall travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you shall make him twice the child of hell that you are. The only time a child of hell is ever defined is one who defines for himself good and evil. That's what it means to be as God. Am I communicating? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Then what the hell are you doing there? He cannot occupy where you are. He must and always must have the temple empty because of his humility. And that is the mind of Christ. Emptiness, that he will fill it, taking no thought for your life, taking no thought for tomorrow, taking no thought for anything, abandoning yourself. And this is the only gospel I see from Genesis to Revelation. And to me, it's not negotiable. I'm not sitting here and try to talk you into it. If you hear, you'll hear. If you don't, you'll slowly fade away into the night.
That's why those guys said, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done this, that, and the other?" And it's because they were the subject of the sentence. Us, you know, they were aware of themselves. That revealed spiritually where they're coming from. And Jesus says, "I don't recognize you because you're recognizing yourself. Not only now, but in all of the things that you were doing.
Man.
I'm judging good and evil, and this is what I'm doing.
I have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior." Well, that's big of you. Oh, I'm just giving you all the glory. Well, thank you. Huh?
God says
God, I needed that. I really needed your glory.
To me, this is like pivotal. If you can't come to terms with the fact that your mind is not
all of it, your mind
the
is
realm of being able to be saved.
It's pure evil.
Yeah, if you don't come to terms with it, then you've got to come with another gospel. You can't pick up the cross.
You can't repent.
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ, you can't abandon yourself.
Yeah, so you got to be religious.
You got to fake it. Some of you are pretty good actors. Not really. You think you are. Aren't you tired of acting? You've acted your whole damn lives. Oh, trying to invent myself a little bit different. I'll add a little bit of clay here and a little bit of this, that, and then I'll shape this way, and then pretty soon I'll be what I want. Well, wait a minute. That didn't work either. Now I've got to go over this way. I'll try this, and I'll add this, and I'll move this, and take a little bit of that, and I'll take a little bit of this philosophy, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of this, and I'll move this, and then, Ollie's here. I'll take a little bit of what he says over here and glob onto me. No, that doesn't work either. It's finished. Over. You have been perfected by one offering. You own all things. All things that now exist or have ever existed or will ever exist for your purpose so that you can see. It's His good pleasure to give you all things freely. Your warfare is over. You lost. I'm going to kill that damn thing.
You're way off in the mind.
Anybody have any thoughts, comments?
This Thessalonians 2 is core. It's all any psychiatrist would ever have to know.
But it's also the core of the people that are over there building the temple. They forget that he says showing himself that he is God. They don't show anybody else. Kevin? Did you dress up for Ken?
I didn't have any clean jeans.
Oh. Is there something we should know here?
Mr. Clean Jeans. I made it.
Oh, okay. Ken, do you have any response? We always give everybody the first time here a time to throw something.
You can't say anything.
Yeah. No, just to let you know that you're always supposed to say what's there. Always. That's what church is supposed to be. What happened to me when I heard it. It just blew me away. So much that I said, God, if what that guy is saying is true, if you're real, then that's what I want. I don't care what it costs me. And sure enough, it cost me everything. I get to bum around with a bunch of losers. Because I used to think I was a winner. Until I find out, because I was out in the world, you know, survival of the fittest. And I thought I was pretty fit until I found out I was an idiot. I even started a company called Enthusiasm Incorporated.
And you and Arnold?
Arnold Palmer and I. We sold it to NBC. E for your energy. N.
You've gone way over your allotted time.
We got to get that.
N for nauseating.
We got to get that. It's on somebody on the internet must have. It's an album, and it shows used car salesmen how to sell more cars. That's what it was created for. It shows you how to really, really, really pump yourself up.
We can make it into a file.
No, there's in that package, there's a record with Arnold Palmer and Miss Texas and I. Take it, big guy, quick. Get out of here.